TalkRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Phil.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. Obviously, I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
I'm going to speak very slowly so you'll understand me.
And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And welcome to WTR's Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The just finished Survivor Series. And amazingly, we all survived. That includes me, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. It also includes Spug.
Hey, Omega.
Hey, Spug.
Did you enjoy the pay-per-view?
It doesn't matter if you enjoyed the pay-per-view!
I knew that was coming.
Next up, the man with about as good an attendance rate as The Rock, Mace.
I have come to take two bumps and steal the spotlight.
And, of course, the man as old as a rock, Tim Stein.
I'm going to kick your ass the next time I go to Florida, which would be sooner than you probably think.
Oh, God.
Boots to asses! Boots
to asses.
You know, Rock's lucky we're not in Germany, because then it would be fists to asses.
Ew.
Just saying.
You're a sick puke, you know that?
Hey,
just saying.
You would have got more people watching fists to asses in Germany than probably watch Survivor Series tonight.
Well, shit, even boots to asses in Germany draws a crowd. It's Germany, for Christ's sakes.
Hey, at least on Survivor Series, there was only one giant asshole.
I'm just saying, Germany, home of the fucked up porn.
It is kind of messed up. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You've been introduced to all these SOBs, so we don't need to really deal with it a whole bunch. I do know there's at least one jaded person on the panel tonight, Mace.
That comes as a fucking surprise.
Absolutely not. No. But that's all right, because it's an opinion and everybody's entitled to it. As far as pay-per-view goes, this one was not right up there with the best. It, on the other side of the coin, was not right down there with the worst. I would personally call it average. It had some entertaining moments. It had some stuff it could have done without. There are a couple of botches and screw-ups that, you know, need to be worked on and fixed one way or the other. But all in all, it didn't suck all that bad. And, Mace, I know that you watch Dwayne Johnson coming out and realize it's Dwayne Johnson playing the role of The Rock. But that being said, he still electrifies the audience.
Really? Because he almost put me to sleep many times.
Well, again, I'm not going to say whether or not you're in the majority or the minority. The fact is, the crowd was hot for him at Madison Square Garden.
So?
Yeah, it's Madison Square Garden, dude. They're always hot, no matter what happens.
Right. So, look, I would be willing to guarantee that if you polled the vast majority of wrestling fans, they could care less that The Rock was there tonight. And how sad is it where one of your four major pay-per-views, a high spot of is of a division that you could care less about, you know, that's the high one of the high spots of your pay-per-view, is a Divas Championship match?
I thought you were meaning the 7'4" Macho Man impression.
That too. That too. Jesus Christ. But like, honestly, I could... What was that tweet I sent out? Finally, The Rock has come back to steal spotlights and screen... Or ring in screen time for those that deserve it. You let Rock cut a 15-minute promo and somehow Morrison gets a title shot over Ryder? Really?
Logic, motherfucker, you don't make it.
Right. Like, I'll start with Morrison, because that aggravates me more than anything. I got a buddy of mine, Joey, and I know he's listening, who goes to every event WWE has when it's in Boston. And he said the main event, the dark main event on Monday night, was a six-man tag. Henry and R-Truth, or Awesomely Truthful versus Punk, Orton, and Cena. And they all came to the ring, and Cena was getting ready to come down the ramp, and the crowd was chanting, "We want Ryder, we want Ryder." Cena stopped, talked to Orton and Punk for a minute. Punk walked in the back, grabbed Ryder, who was in his street gear, in his street clothes. Ryder took Cena's spot in the match and got the finish. If you got a crowd that hot for you and you heard the "We Want Ryder" chants tonight, the guy is over. And he did it without your help. Why the fuck aren't you helping him now?
Because if WWE doesn't create it, they don't like to help it?
Like, you're...
Oh, no.
You put... One second.
Okay.
You put a guy in that match tonight that you've effectively buried since WrestleMania because his girlfriend opened her whore mouth and made a stupid statement, and so did he. So why are you giving him that push? As opposed to a guy who's earned it. And look, I don't care if WWE created it or not, but Zack Ryder earned his fucking spot, and they can't even give him the courtesy of acknowledging what he's done. I'm finished.
Well, they did let him come out here and continue his thing he's had with Dolph Ziggler, so it's not like they're completely ignoring it. They know what they've got. And keep in mind, he has cracked the top five in merchandise sales through no help of WWE whatsoever. And we know if WWE listens to one thing, it's merchandising sales. The guy's going to be in line for a push, whether they will admit to help to being no part of his popularity or not.
But that's the thing. They aren't any part of his popularity. He's been in the top five of merchandise sales for at least 3 months now, and they could care less. Could care less.
I am going to have to disagree with you on that one, Spug, simply because I get the feeling that you're looking at the trees and not the entire forest. I got the feeling that Zach is getting the rub for the next, you know, leading into the next pay-per-view. And if I'm wrong, then that will bear out between now and the next pay-per-view. However, I think that's probably what is going to happen. WWE does have a tendency to take it a little slow with certain individuals who wind up becoming some of their biggest stars. It took, believe it or not, it took Rocky Maivia a little while to catch on as The Rock. And Rocky Maivia, Dwayne Johnson, is the guy, you know, just ask him, he'll tell you. He's the one who invented the character The Rock. He went to creative and said, "Look, let's do this." He's the one who went out there on his own, said, you know, and started everything off with that promo of his that started off, "Die, Rocky, die."
That promo doesn't happen without Vince's say-so. And even Dwayne Johnson has admitted to it. Vince gave him the green light to do that promo.
Yeah,
and
now,
even Vince wrote part of it. And yes, Tim, I am seeing the forest for the trees. Because you, and I know the tagline says card subject to change without warning. But my point is, you've had advertised for the better part of 2 weeks, Ziggler versus Ryder for the U.S. title. Okay? They fought for the U.S. title a pay-per-view ago. You've kept him off of TV for more than 6 months. The guy has gotten over entirely on his own. What
well,
I'm saying
here's,
is,
I'm gonna interrupt. I'm
to give him the title.
Okay, I'm interrupting it right here for just a minute. You brought something up that basically runs counter to this current point. Vince had input to everything that Dwayne Johnson did with the Raw character. You don't think that Vince is giving any green lights to Zach for doing everything he's doing with YouTube, you know, on the internet and all this other stuff that he's doing?
Vince admittedly did not give the green light to Zach's YouTube channel. Zach's quote when he opened that YouTube channel is, "This is either going to get me noticed or get me fired. Either which, I don't care." Just
however, but there is a consent because he is still continuing the series, even after he's gotten an actual push on television, no matter how small it is.
Dude, anything that's going to make the WWE make them money, they're going to glom onto. Now that they realize they have a cash cow in it, yeah, sure, Vince is like, go ahead, do it. But honestly, Vince could have given a fuck less. That's what pisses me off, is that real talent, and I will give props to Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk for one hell of a match tonight, and The Miz and R-Truth for one hell of a match tonight, but real talent in the WWE, whether it be the ability to get over with a fan base without the help of a marketing machine, or being able to do the gimmick that Vince, that, you know, better than Vince could ever dream of on paper, if WWE had nothing to do with it, they don't want anything to do with it rather than embrace it. And it's just getting to a point where I'm getting pissed off with it.
It's getting to the point where it's annoying because even, like, I've admitted, I'm not the biggest Ryder fan, but I give the guy props for what he's done. But at the same time, it's like, here's a little bit of a push, for here's a little bit of acknowledgement for what you've done, but we're still not going to do anything with you.
In a
way, they keep putting the carrot on the stick out further and further every time he gets close to getting it.
In a way, it's probably the YouTube show that also hurt his push at the same time, because here you've got a guy who WWE wasn't ready to push. They weren't ready for how popular this guy was going to be all of a sudden. They're still very leery of giving him anything because he isn't a pre-approved star yet. You know, but Spug said the magic words. Vince will jump off anything that can make him money. And Zack Ryder is making WWE a ton of money right now.
I think they're
going slow with him because they're uncertain of a guy they didn't give the green light to themselves. But I still think he is in line for at least a U.S. title run here.
Here's my thing, Omega. As a promoter, right? Even if I didn't create it, if I know that it is going to bring me money, and I know that it is going to put asses in the seats and sell merchandise off the table, why, as a promoter, do I not want to elevate that? Why would I not want to sell out my 15 and 16 and 25 and 40,000 seat arenas for people who are going to buy tickets to come see that?
Because you have to think long term. You can't see, like, you've had a lot of guys in the WWE who have been a flash in the pan star. And as soon, they were hugely over. Could not get the crowd to shut up for him. Once he did something with them, once it was oversaturated, didn't want them anymore. And that's with guys that you approve, the guys that you chose to have this kind of push. Now you're dealing with someone like Zack Ryder, who the fans are huge into right now, but you had absolutely nothing to do with it. This wasn't in your long-term plans in the slightest. You've got to figure out if this guy's popularity is going to continue. You use him little by little, like how he's used tonight. He still gets to one up Dolph Ziggler at the end of the match. You see if his popularity is going to maintain when you do use him. And if it does, if you have a viable market, you have something that's viably marketable over a long term, then we can push him. But for now, WWE has no idea if that popularity has any legs to it.
All right, here,
when
I'm going to pull it.
When did Ryder start doing these things and started getting noticed for it?
39 weeks ago. And here, I'm going to pull the curtain back just a little bit. And Mace can chime in and agree with me whether or not. But you're in the middle of a match, right? You're the baby face, and the heel tells you it's time for the comeback spot. And you're starting to work the crowd up, and you can hear them getting louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. But here's the thing. You don't make the comeback when you're supposed to, and the crowd dies. WWE is going to get to a point with this where the crowd is at a fever pitch and they're not going to do anything with Ryder and the fans aren't going to care. Because guess what? No matter how much merchandise we buy, no matter how much we pay for tickets to go see Ryder, the WWE isn't going to give us what we want, and they're going to effectively kill something that they were trying to make money off of.
Which they did tonight.
Which they did tonight. You have to, absolutely have to, strike when it is hot. And right now, the time has never been hotter for the WWE to make money off of Zack Ryder and for Zack Ryder to get some semblance of a push where he is on TV steadily and maybe even holds the U.S. title for a month. You have to do that. The fans can turn away after that. That's not going to matter because you've made your money, but you're going to miss the opportunity.
The fans are pretty much clamoring for it. They want to see the trigger pulled, but WWE keep holding back. And, like, I'll tell you straight up, Ziggler and Morrison put on one hell of a match with a lot of really good, innovative offense.
Absolutely.
And if it was done at any other time, any other place, it would have been a really good opener. But the crowd want Ryder. They are clamoring for it. They want to see him get his rightful shot. Yeah, because they're not pulling the trigger, they turned a really good match into a piss poor opener. But you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I can see both sides of the issue. Like, I can understand Omega's point, but unfortunately, I'm siding with Spug a lot more, especially because this has been at least 4 or 5 months in the making, and if. Well, since Ryder has been able to keep the crowd that hot for him for that long, I don't think the crowd's interest is going to wane if they put a belt on him.
At the same time, I would argue that they are doing this at the right pace. I mean, because, yes, they are very hot for Ryder. This was one of the first nights where they were completely insatiable. Just all throughout that opening match, the only thing that brought up Ryder was the fact that it's Dolph Ziggler, the guy that's feuding with Ryder right now. And it came up again later that night when Ziggler was back for the Survivor Series match. That was this is the first time where it's really been completely, just absolutely overwhelming, the crowd support for him. The vocalization for "We Want Ryder." It did kick, and, it kicked off with, the incident in Boston Spug was talking about. That's been all over the quote-unquote dirt sheets.
Well, I just got to say, if you guys agree or if you disagree, we're going to give you a chance to let us know and everybody else tuned in. All you got to do is call us. How do you do that? Pick up the telephone and dial 267-297-1397. We want to hear from any and all of you tonight, as a matter of fact. Those of you who caught the pay-per-view, those who have opinions and thoughts on Zack Ryder, are they handling him right, are they handling him wrong? Anything like that. Once again, 267-297-1397. If you have Skype, all you got to do is Skype Sir Rockin, R-O-C-K-I-N. We'll bring you on the show. All right. That being said.
Yeah, there's not much else we can really say about this.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much the first match in a nutshell.
Yeah, and it only took us 20-odd minutes to get through it.
Yeah, several nutshells, I should say.
So basically it took us longer to talk about the first match than the first match took to watch.
Pretty much.
Yay!
And we barely mentioned the match other than the fact that, you know, okay, Morrison's underused, it was a good match. Where the fuck was Ryder?
Yeah, but I still, and this will be my final point on it, why Morrison? Dude's been on a losing streak for the last few months. He gets one win over Ziggler, and all of a sudden he gets the title shot on pay-per-view.
Well,
but I know his contract's coming to an end, but seriously. Unless they're trying to suck him off to try and get him to re-sign, I don't see a point in it.
Well, you may have, in a very strange way, just answered your own question on that topic, Mace. They may be doing stuff to try to entice him to re-sign, or just saying, okay, well, it's your last hurrah. You're going out on your back, and this is how you're doing it. You know, it's not the first time I would have seen something like that happen.
Oh, no, WWE loves to do that. I mean, if they're going to get rid of Morrison, if they've already decided it, they're going to make him look like trash until his contract's up.
So.
So what was next on the card?
The Divas title. Beth Phoenix versus Eve in a Lumberjill match.
Bitch got killed. That's all I'm going to say about that. Bitch got killed.
There you go. You see, my problem is I can't talk about this match because I missed it. So I'll throw it into the arena. Go ahead, guys.
Omega, you got anything?
Have we confirmed that they finished peeling her face off the mat?
I don't know, but I think they're still trying to fix the dents in the wooden boards in the ring from where her tits landed.
So for those who didn't get a chance to see the pay-per-view or that match in particular, why don't you just like explain exactly what happened?
All right, the basics of it is Beth Phoenix carried the living shit out of Eve to a somewhat decent-looking lumberjill match, which was pretty fucking pointless. The only thing that got us going, holy shit, was the... What the fuck did she call the move again?
Glam Slam.
Yeah, doing the Glam Slam off the top rope.
Glam Slam already looks like it hurts like hell to begin with, let alone you add a good, you know, 6 feet of height to it.
Yeah. I was expecting the referee to pull out, you know, like Omega said, you know, have they finished scraping her off the canvas yet? I was expecting the flapjack flipper to just come out and just scrape her off.
I'm sure those who are watching in HD, you could probably see her face where all the makeup instantly peeled off her face. Just like a big Joker smiley face in the mat the entire match.
I'm surprised we didn't get one of those overly comical imprints in the ground like you do in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Eve holding up a sign that says, ouch. That's what we need. Okay, that's what we need on whatever YouTube show or whatever that actually does wrestling. I need the Wile E. Coyote falling off a cliff and landing sound stuck to that piece of footage.
and if you've got enough skills, then put in the ouch sign being held up afterwards. Because, yeah, that just... Like, Eve isn't exactly a thick person. I'm surprised that if she came out of that in one piece, then Beth protected her really, really well. If not, she got to be broken.
Maybe they were future endeavoring her, too.
I don't think they're going to future endeavor her, but they might have to put her in the hospital bed next to Sin Cara.
Oh, God.
this is where I say we have news about Sin Cara, but we'll keep that, you know, coming up in a bit.
Pretty much.
Suspense now.
I know, it's big news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Big news about Sin Cara. This is where I thought Tim would jump in and talk. But he didn't.
Well, you see, you went and you totally blew it. You let me know about that. We're going to do big news on Sin Cara after the break. Don't go anywhere. But no, you fucked up the cliffhanger. Nice going, producer.
I said we'll talk about it in a bit.
You still screwed up the teaser. That's my point.
The tease is still there. Don't worry.
Oy vey.
I said we have news about Sin Cara. I didn't say what.
Well, breaking news about Sin Cara. We'll tell you about that after the break. Speaking of which, why don't we take our first little time out of the evening, everybody else in WTR Sunday night, as we take a look at the 2011 edition of Survivor Series, a pay-per-view that was actually in danger of not being here this year. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back, right back. And I just want to do on the way out to commercial a couple of shout-outs to all of our we've got some brand-new listeners in there. Especially some guy who calls himself Anthony Cooter or Cuter or whatever. Welcome to the chat room. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back right after this.
Way to keep the kayfabe, Tim.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is what happens when someone drunk dials CB radio.
Spock!
Spock!
We decided we were going to go out, and I decided I was drinking, and I got fucked up. And I'm never going to get fucked up. Crazy the way of tipsy. My wife decided to be the DD tonight, so I'm going to have to give her a good fat fucking scroggin later. Show my appreciation. Pig sex. I'm gonna go to BP, live on the air. Give me some cigarettes.
With no pants.
No, I have pants on now. I'll just put it back on. I should walk in there with no pants. I should walk in there with my pants put on my ankles and ask for where the condoms are.
I need to go in there and
take a ride. No, I don't need parental supervision, Mom. That's a really mean-looking black woman behind the counter. She might hurt.
My dear, it's Pakistani.
You stupid dog!
That's your white dog.
Okay, when you sit there and wave to people that you're close, and yet every fucking light is on, even your open light, what do you think that tells people? Yeah, but I can't walk in there without my pants on. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it. And that's it.
What's going on? I'm gonna say I don't know you. So we're up in jail.
Hi. Can I pack your head to the box?
Please tell me he has no pants on.
No, I have pants on. I promise I have pants on.
Aww.
I can't breathe.
If it weren't past 1 a.m., I'd buy me a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I can't figure out what's in the bandit. Well, you can jump style all the time.
Tune in every Saturday around midnight-ish to see who will drunk dial CB radio next.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand it.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big bad show tonight. Oh, baby, come on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a big show. Oh, crank it up. Turn on them lights. Turn them on.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, everybody, if you're out and about and want to catch any of the programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, don't forget, we've got it set up so you can check us out on your smartphones. We stream mobile. All you got to do is log into www.wildtalkradio.mobapp.at on your mobile device, and you can listen to us on the go. And I just have one comment to the producer, Rock, as we went to break, said something about breaking kayfabe. I got news for you. We're not breaking kayfabe here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're bringing it back, baby. Okay. You're going to find out exactly what we're talking about in just a little bit. Not going to tell you right now, but it's a pretty big deal, especially on the Internet, in all the Internet wrestling community circles. So stay tuned for the announcement. We'll drop the bomb in a little bit, as it were. That being said, why don't we take a look at the Survivor Series match. Team Barrett, consisting of Barrett, Swagger, Winnico, Cody Rhodes, and Ziggler, versus Team Orton, consisting of Orton, Sin Bacha, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, and Mason Ryan. Sin Bacha, is that a good name for him, Mace?
It is, since you decided to steal it off me, and I stole it off Bachamania.
Well, there you go. So basically, I'm not the original thief. Don't be giving me grief. Pardon my rhyme.
Boy.
It was accidental. I didn't do it on purpose. Just saying. Anybody surprised Ziggler was the first one eliminated?
Yeah.
Not. What?
One yes, one not so much.
Not surprised in the least.
Okay.
Dude just wrestled the opener. There's no way they were going to leave him in there long.
Right. I'm with Omega on that one.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Of course, I was figuring it was Kofi Kingston that was going to be the first one eliminated. I just had a feeling it was going to be him, but my feeling was incorrect.
I thought it was going to be Sin Bacha.
Oh, well, he eliminated him.
Omega and I were about to say the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He did a good job eliminating himself.
There you go. Of course, we got breaking news on Sin Cara.
He's pregnant.
No, but that would probably cause the same kind of consternation as is what's happening right now. WWE.com reporting, as a result of his injury, Sin Cara out 6 to 9 months.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, considering what he has done is going to require surgery, that does not surprise me in the slightest.
Well, you're the one who did the medical research during the pay-per-view, Mace. You want to fill everybody in?
I'd be more than happy to once I scroll back through our long-ass conversation to find the pages.
All right. I can refresh your memory. It had to do with a patella tendon.
Oh,
yes, I know this.
If he ripped up his patella tendon, he's done at least a year. Forget that 6 to 9 months crap. That, no. I guarantee you he's out at least 1 year.
So do they let him go halfway through his rehab?
Probably.
Give him one of those t-shirts?
They wouldn't be crazy enough to give him one of those t-shirts that says Future Endeavored on it.
Mr. Future Endeavored. That would be one hell of a way for any wrestling promoter. Of course, nobody else can do it now except WWE because of the trademark. But it would have kind of been funny in a really sad, bad, horrible, shitty way for a wrestling promotion to fire their talent by giving them a t-shirt.
So it's something Eric Bischoff would do.
Yes, you know. You can't afford the FedEx. So just go to the concession and grab a t-shirt. Oh, hey, Steve, here.
You got it wrong. You got it wrong, Tim. If it was Eric Bischoff, he'd send the shirt via FedEx.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And then make the person who gets it pay for it.
Right.
Send a collect, of course. What a great way to capitalize on
cash
your budgetary
on
savings. There you go. Yeah, COD. Absolutely interesting idea. So, second elimination was Kara. The third one, Ryan, Mason Ryan, eliminated by Cody Rhodes? Are you serious?
Oh, look, it's a future IC title feud.
Don't you think that was a little obvious, though?
About as obvious as how much they've been pushing this shaved gorilla onto our plates going, here, you'll eat this up.
You know, my question is, after Sin Cara fucked himself up, who do you think was responsible for rebooking that match on the fly? Because, you know, some changes had to be made.
Orton?
Yeah.
Orton for his team and Barrett and the referee on his particular team. You could see them, they both split off into their groups trying to work out how are we going to fix this, and the referee's darting back and forth between them, conveying messages.
And I'll tell you right now, from somebody who's worked camera at a pro wrestling event, doing shit like that plays havoc with the edits, especially when you're airing the footage live and you don't have the benefit of doing it in post-production.
Yeah, but you got to remember, here it is, you've done camera work, but the WWE camera work is completely different. There's about 3 to 4 guys sitting out in a truck out the back going, okay, we need camera 1, camera 3, camera 4, camera 1, camera 3, go to 2, 6, 5, long shot. And they just flick that shit on the fly.
Yeah.
And they can cover it up really, really well.
Well, the nice thing about that is, and I've worked in TV studios, having taken that college course that I took, they're sitting inside that production truck. Every single camera has its own preview TV screen.
Yeah, and that's why they say go to 1, go to 4, go to 6.
Yeah. Basically, the director has to have his head on a pivot, and he'll say preview 3, go 3, preview 2, go 2, preview 1, go 1. Because they got to set it up that way. They can't just say go to 3, go to 2, long shot, go to 5. They've got to preview it and then go, and hope that by the time he says preview, go, that they can catch what they need to catch. So he literally has to be 5 seconds ahead of what the camera's showing, which is not the easiest thing on the planet.
That's why everything runs on a delay, Tim. You got to remember, you're talking about crappy indie shows where you're using handhelds and the best thing you can buy at Best Buy. You're not using $100,000 cameras and giant semi-trailers full of editing equipment. Just saying. It may play hell on your edit, but on WWE's edit, it's just another day at the office.
Pretty much.
You know, we were kind of talking about that. I don't know if you zoned out or didn't pay any attention about it, but Mason and I were going back and forth about doing live edits and stuff versus post-production.
I listened to the whole thing, but at the end of it, you started saying the same shit he said 5 minutes ago and trying to make it your point.
Okay, hang on a second. Something's screwing up on my computer. Just discuss amongst yourselves.
So what is wrong with Tim's computer? You reckon it's too much porn?
He cross-fires and stuff. He's having a problem, apparently.
He's been searching up that German fisting porn again, hasn't he?
No, it's been taken over by a hijack.
Lovely.
Actually, two of them, and I'm trying to get rid of them.
Speaking
Quick,
of hijacking...
Get into the root folder of Windows and go delete kernel.
I'm trying to.
No, not you, the hackers.
Oh, fuck off. Tell the hackers how to get into my computer.
Welcome to Technical Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do we have a show on Wednesdays that does that?
We do.
No, we don't.
In any event, back to the match.
I could have sworn we had a show on Wednesdays that talked about this shit.
Apparently, at one time, we did.
Lemmy's got a job.
Yeah.
I got a job.
Screw you for ruining our show, Mace.
How dare you want financial security?
Right?
Hey, how dare I want to pay to go to Spug's wedding renewal ceremony?
Yeah, well.
Jeez, wedding fucking renewal. More money, more problems, less shows.
Yeah, it's probably less shows for longer than you guys will realize.
Well, them, if they
contract extension coming in. That.
Yeah. If they don't read your Facebook post, they won't know, Mace.
Yeah, I might be getting a contract extension till probably June.
So what we got to do, everybody, is get the phone number for the place that he works at and just really say really nasty shit about Mace so they fire him.
Good luck. It's an Australian government job. You got no hope of getting the phone numbers.
Got a friend in Australia that might be able to get something.
So, yes. Anyway, wrestling. Now we've sidetracked ourselves once again.
The next elimination was the second self-elimination of the night. Sheamus got his ass DQ'd. My question, why?
I completely missed what the fuck happened there.
He kept beating the crap out of, what's his
Swagger.
Name? Swagger.
Swagger.
Up.
Oh my god, in a wrestling match? Really?
He was in the ropes. He was in the ropes.
Yeah, and the referee DQ'd him.
I don't care if he's in Lita at the time. That's the point of a match.
It was a really odd DQ, too. Because from what I was seeing at the bar, like, he was kicking the crap out of Ziggler, or not Ziggler, but Swagger. The ref wasn't paying attention, turned around, DQ'd Sheamus, then went back to yelling at whoever he was yelling at.
Yeah, that would be the effect of losing Sin Cara.
Trying to rebook the match on the fly and still keep all the spots in check.
I've got a feeling that probably Hunico was supposed to go out a lot earlier than what he ended up.
How the hell did Hunico last so long?
I don't know, but they need to put a flannel shirt on him.
No,
a flannel shirt?
No. What they need to do is...
They need
is
to give him a lawnmower.
No, what they need to do... What they need to do is put a t-shirt on him, white, with... big red letters, I was the other Sin Cara. And on the back, please remember me.
No. They got to have a t-shirt that says, we are not Mexican America. Or LAX. Or the LWO. Or the Mexicals. But we are Mexican. Except Primo.
Puerto Rican doesn't quite cut it.
By the way, when I saw Scott Steiner the other night, he really is not that big. And after talking to him for about 15 minutes, I actually have a little bit more respect for the guy.
Oh yeah, you were actually going to talk to him about his steroids testing.
I did ask him about that.
And?
Let's not go there.
Oh.
He told you to fuck off, didn't he?
No. No, he didn't. He was actually really cool about it.
By the way, thanks for the photo, jackass.
Suck it.
And for motherfucker getting photos with Nigel McGuinness and shit.
Yeah, if you'd like to see the photo, go to twitter.com/wildtalkradio or twitter.com/bug_guy and you can see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a shill.
It is.
So after Sheamus gets himself DQ'd, the next elimination was Swagger, eliminated by Orton, followed up by Unico, also eliminated by Orton.
And just like Eve Torres, I'm waiting for them to scrape him off the fucking mat. Dude dove off the top rope into an RKO that I swear almost put him through the damn ring.
That was a good RKO.
It was. Good to see somebody willing to take that bump.
I'm so sick of that spot, by the way.
Yeah, it looks cool, but it happens a little too often. Yeah, I get too many Diamond Cutter flashbacks going, how many ways can he hit that move?
I was just about to say, Randy Orton needs to go back to looking at Diamond Dallas Page's old matches to get new ideas.
Well, like, if you look at the, Anytime somebody goes up top and Randy Orton's laying on the mat, you can call it, oh, here comes Top Rope RKO, and that happens at least once a month on television or pay-per-view.
Problem is, every time they pull it out, it still gets a huge pot, so they're going to fucking do it until they bury it.
That's not the point, Tim. If you're looking at it from a psychology base and as a worker and you know, if you're looking at it logically, if someone comes off the top rope and takes an RKO into the ring and then kicks out, because that's the spot every time. Orton has never pinned anybody off of that top rope RKO. Never. He didn't do it to CM Punk at WrestleMania. He didn't do it to John Cena. Orton has never pinned anybody off of that top rope RKO.
Didn't he do it to Christian?
I think I've seen a few times where he's gotten a pinfall off of that.
He did it
to Evan Bourne.
Yeah, he did it to
Evan Bourne.
He did it to Christian when Christian landed on the steel steps.
He also did it to Evan Bourne on Raw.
Okay. Yeah, that was out of the shooting star press, which was freaking awesome.
He's had a couple. But the more you do that spot, and the less and less people take a pinfall to it. And you can pin Evan Bourne out of that all you want. It makes the move more effective when you're putting down the bigger guys with it. The bigger name guys. It's the whole point. It's the whole point of a moveset. Is so that even if you would expect Randy Orton's moves to work on Evan Bourne, but you would also expect that John Cena would be able to counter some of them. And if Orton is being able to put down John Cena with that top rope RKO, then keep that spot. But the moment you keep having John Cena and CM Punk and so on and so forth kick out of that, the move loses its effect.
Well, I'm not arguing that with you. I'm arguing what my point is, certain individuals are like Hollywood and they're sequels. If you got one that works, do it twice. If it works twice, do it three times. If it's making money, keep going until people stop going to see it. Like a perfect example would be the Police Academy movies.
Trying to remember the last time I ever heard someone reference the Police Academy movies.
It was one of those Wednesday shows.
Yeah. There's a Police Academy marathon on cable last weekend, so.
Aha.
We're doing a lot of name dropping and movie references tonight.
Name dropping and, yeah.
Bedtime!
Well, maybe five people in total listening might catch that. You understand this, right?
Doesn't matter.
Don't care. Funny.
Well, we will explain exactly what we're talking about and why we're doing all these little tiny subtle references to kayfabe and stuff like that. We'll let you know on the other side of the next timeout, which we'll get to right as soon as we finish wrapping this up. Orton gets eliminated by Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett and his team are your Survivor Series winners.
Which doesn't mean jack shit because it's no longer a Survivor Series tournament like it used to be back in the day.
Exactly. It was just like whatever.
Here's a traditional Survivor Series match because you people keep bitching about it.
Pretty much. It's Survivor Series, so we have to have one of these. Who almost doesn't have anything to do this weekend?
Who wants a quick paycheck?
See, who hasn't had a payday since the spring?
It would be nice to have just one major Survivor Series match again. You know, because it used to be a big deal. You know, you put Ultimate Warrior, you put Hulk Hogan in them. You had major, major stars, and it was supposed to be this huge deal.
Remember, Omega, that was the plan originally for this event.
Supposedly.
And then they changed their minds.
Then again, Rock.
You had actual teams back then. You know, had Hulk Hogan leading the Ultimate, the Hulkamaniacs. You had like the natural disasters, which was Earthquake, Typhoon, and there was Million Dollar Man and somebody else. You know, they had actual teams with team names, and you know, if you actually lost your guys, you lost them for the rest of the night. You know, and it'd go down until you had the Ultimate Survivors. That's the whole concept of Survivor Series.
And the great thing was, it could have been 5-on-1 at the end of the night.
Right. Not that it's ever 5-on-1 unless you're against DX.
No, I do remember, what was it, Survivor Series 91 or 92? There was a Survivor, the end of the night, the Ultimate Survivors match, it ended up being 5-on-2.
Which just added to the drama at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It made us care. It made us excited.
And you know, not
there seems to be we no longer seem to get out of these pay-per-views.
There you go. So, there it is. The traditional Survivor Series match, which, as Mace said, really means absolutely diddly squat anymore. Up next, the world title is on the line as the champion Mark Henry steps into the scored circle against the Big Show with the 7-foot-tall holy shit moment, the elbow drop.
As Rock put it, elbow drops and leg drops, brother. That's all you need to know from this match.
Pretty much. So Big Show wins via DQ after a low blow courtesy of Mark Henry. After the match, Show knocks out Mark Henry. Of course, this is after Mark Henry grabs a chair and puts it on Show's ankle. Yeah, again, goes up the ropes to jump down and break his ankle. Yet one more time, Show gets out of the way, shakes off the chair, delivers a aforementioned punch, puts the chair on Mark Henry, jumps on the chair and breaks Mark Henry's ankle.
And great storyline. Selling for Mark Henry on the ankle break.
Yes and no.
It was all sarcasm, Tim.
I know. Trust me, I'm not as stupid as I act. I know it was all sarcasm.
But we're bypassing the big elbow drop. Holy shit, was that good.
He actually had good form on it, too.
Yeah. I'm amazed he actually managed to get that far through the air.
Well, I was sitting at the bar, and I'm like, he's taking an awful long time. He's taking an awful long time. Oh, he can't, the ring's not going to support his weight. He's stuck up there. He realizes he's stuck. Holy shit, he got to the top rope. He's not going to make it that far. He's not going to make it that far. Holy shit, the fat man flew that far.
And to add on the end of that, holy shit, the fat man didn't go through the ring.
Right?
I was expecting the old, you know, Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow going through the ring spot.
Well, they made a big deal before the match even got underway about, you know, ring crew out there reinforcing the damn thing.
Yeah, but they were reinforcing the framework.
Uh-huh.
There's not much you can do to reinforce that plywood.
Yeah.
Well, it's not plywood. They're probably using 2x10s. But there's not much you... There's probably not much you could, you know, do to reinforce that.
And considering you've got 500 pounds of Big Show coming off what would be what? How high do you reckon the top rope is on that, Spud?
From top to ring floor?
Yeah.
I mean, you had Big Show's height on it. He's probably coming a good 10 feet.
At 500 pounds, 10 feet, that's a lot of pressure to suddenly hit that wood.
Hit that ring, yeah.
So they must have either reinforced that or they were just praying to God that he didn't go through the canvas.
Oh, they probably had it reinforced.
But this is the thing, like, it's a holy shit thing to see him do it now, but many people forget, back in his WCW days, that elbow drop was a standard part of his repertoire. And I think at least once in his early career, he actually broke out to moonsault.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that 99% of today's fans wouldn't remember.
Yeah, that's back when the Big Show used to have hair.
Yeah.
And 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah, that too.
He was the skinny giant back then.
Yep, led to the ring by Kevin Sullivan, of all people.
So, by the way, my question.
Did you get a chance to watch that documentary about the Big Show? Awesome doc.
Oh, yeah. Great documentary.
Haven't seen it.
You should.
Yeah, you should watch. It's really good.
Well, I'll check it out. But my question that I posted in the pay-per-view chat was, do we now see Mark Henry with the storyline broken ankle have to vacate the title for some kind of a tournament?
It'll probably lead to something like that. It does help keep a little bit of credibility to Mark Henry as a champion. You know, it lets them put the belt on somebody else getting ready for the Royal Rumble. At the same time, nobody could put Mark Henry down for 3 count to take the belt off of him.
Yeah, it still gives him a bit of momentum.
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, please, Bryan. If he didn't cash in after what happened tonight, then he's not going to anytime soon.
Yeah, well, he's holding on to it until WrestleMania, and that's all there is to it. But, the crowd was screaming for it. Even Joey Styles tweeted, to hell with honor and all that other whatever he said. Cash in the money in the bank.
But if you just wait, you say they're going to vacate the title, have him win the tournament for that title.
So he challenges himself at WrestleMania?
No. Here's what you do. You let the money in the bank go all the way to WrestleMania. You give him, you let him win the title. You let him go into Mania as the champion. You put him against someone like a CM Punk that he could work an amazing match with. If he loses, and once he loses the belt, instant rematch.
I
like the instant rematch part. That's where I was going, but you.
Yeah.
Mark Henry, though. Give him Mark Henry.
No, I'd like to see an actual wrestling match with Daniel Bryan as the champion.
But I know they won't do CM Punk, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Give him William Regal again.
They won't do that either.
I know, it's a shame.
Unfortunate.
That's why I said it's probably going to be Mark Henry.
The best match on Superstars in a long-ass time, and it was William Regal versus Daniel Bryan.
Speaking of, who caught the rib that they pulled on poor William Regal in the last tour?
Awesome!
Sounds like something
I
missed.
The reaction on his face was absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
Sounds like something I missed. Fill me in.
They came out... It was in the England tour, I think, and they had him coming out, you know, your standard William Regal entrance, his music going, and he gets halfway down the ramp when all of a sudden they change to the Man's Man theme.
Oh, okay.
And he kept himself together surprisingly well, but...
He's a man.
Yeah.
The
thing is, the second that music hit, Regal stops, looks to the back, and just shakes his head, and one of these, okay, you got me, smiles comes over his face. It cuts to Daniel Bryan standing in the corner, clapping and smiling. The biggest smile I've seen on that guy's face in years. And even the entire time, up the rest of the ramp, but into the ring, Regal's just going, oh, God, you bastards got me.
Sounds like it was fun.
I like when things like that actually do manage to leak. We don't get to see, like, you know, the personal ribs a lot.
And they do it on a show no one watches anyhow.
Yeah, there you go.
My favorite was a rib that happened to Scott Steiner this weekend.
Oh, no. What happened?
You know how Steiner used to come out in the Michigan's Letterman jacket?
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the refs is a graduate of Michigan, and then one of the wrestlers is also a graduate of Ohio State. And he brought his Letterman's jacket with him. And he handed it to Steiner, and he said, here, you might want to wear this out to the ring, and I hear the arena's pretty cold. And, like, Steiner didn't look at the jacket at first. He just saw it was a red and, you know, whatever, Letterman's jacket. And then he started to put it on and saw the big block O on the chest. And everybody started laughing. And Carlito is a tool.
All right, we can't go to break until we hear why.
No, he's just a tool. Like, I went up, started Thursday night, we got done. And we got done with the show. We got done tearing down. And we're at the after party. And I walk up, you know, start talking to him. And I'm at, you know, we're, because all the trainees are kind of like around him, talking to him, asking him questions, yada, yada. And I asked him, I said, you know, you had that amazing run, your first month in WWE where they put the U.S. title on you automatically. I said, did they screw up or did you?
Ew.
And he looked at me funny. I was like, you know, Jesus, all that. And he goes, that was partly my fault. And I said, so how do you avoid doing that? And he goes, just do what you're told. You know, listen to your promoters, listen to your writers. And I'm like, fair enough. Cause he took that question with like real grace. And I really legitimately wanted that question answered. It wasn't like I was trying to be a dick about it. It was really nice. And I said, well, at the end, you made all kinds of incendiary comments. I said, you look at the guys being pushed right now. They're not half as talented or over as you were. I said, looking back on it now, don't you wish you'd shut your mouth? And he goes, fuck you, and walked away from me. And then like the rest of the night, like he was just like, I bumped into him accidentally and he gave me like the I'm gonna kick your ass look. And I was like, fuck you, dude. Like he was just a tool. Absolute tool.
As usual, spug with the subtlety of a 20-pound sledgehammer.
Dude!
Eloquence.
Dude, seriously. You're going to tell me Sin Cara deserves the push he got over Carlito?
That's, seriously, you're going to phrase the question that way.
Yeah, it's more the way you phrase the comment.
Listen,
it's a good question, but it's a dick move.
I don't get paid to phrase things properly. I get paid for results, goddammit.
I know this. That's why I made the comment of the subtlety of the 20-pound sledgehammer.
And quite frankly, if you're going to open up your mouth and say something stupid and get yourself fired, then you deserve to be called on the carpet for it. Because obviously, you're not that smart to begin with. I don't care if your dad... Look, Primo. Primo still has a fucking job. That's all
Barely.
I have... That's all I have to say, is Primo still has a job, and the one with the talent in the family is working Cincinnati, Massillon, and other crappy indie dates. Need I say more? I think my question was very fair and on point.
Very true, but it was also delivered with the subtlety of a 20-pound sledgehammer.
Doesn't matter.
And generally not something that you would do. That being said, everybody, we're taking our next time out of the evening. Don't go anywhere. Once again, the phone lines are open, 267-297-1397. Or get on the show by Skyping Sir Rockin'. That being said, we'll be back right after this with the last two matches of Survivor Series. Don't go anywhere. Somebody go get their will in. Somebody go get their ass kicked. Somebody go get their will in. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. But how could I be scared of a man? I walk through this land.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane.
At least they're not.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey! You go! Bye-bye.
Look
the cult of personality.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where it's clubbering time!
Tim's voice did really just change right there.
Got very Australian suddenly.
It was either that or we sit there through an entire song.
But that's a good song. It's a good song.
Shit freezes up sometimes. Completely my fault. My computer was attacked.
I'd eventually have to get a new one. So shut up, leave me alone. Sorry.
So yeah, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us through the break.
Before we get into the last two matches, considering that we've already heard two out of the three stories, Spug, did you get anything from Nigel besides a photo? Did he remember who the hell you were?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he said he would come back on the program anytime. He had a good time.
So you were the one making plans for Nigel.
What?
Huh.
The hell is... Shut up, Tim.
Okay, well, it's just probably just a little too obscure for you, never mind.
Spug makes lots and lots of friends, especially with the girls from WSU.
Yeah, I saw J-Hav too, but no, I was talking to Nigel, and I asked Nigel, you know, I said, hey, when do you want to come back on? He says, anytime you want to have me. And I was like, well, I'll talk to Alan, and we'll get with you. So, and then, I did pick up one of his retirement tour t-shirts.
Did you go to the seminar?
No, I didn't get to go to that, and that's a sore subject.
Well, I will guarantee you right now, Nigel will never, ever be on OWW Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network ever again.
Hey, Tim. Just little bit of professional courtesy, so don't really know how much you talked to Alan, but last time I talked to him, he didn't want to say anything about it till Tuesday.
Spug, we're talking about it tonight, and we've already promoted it, and you're out of the loop.
Well, that's what I said. I talked to Alan yesterday. I talked to Alan last night, and he didn't want to say anything about it till Tuesday.
We twisted
that. Yeah, that was last night. We decided it was going to be announced tonight.
Well, considering that we've just basically screwed it up, why don't you announce it now, Tim?
Might as well.
Well, we have a new show, but it's not new. Joining us on Tuesday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, OWW Radio, is going to become, as of Tuesday, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, with your host, Alan Wojcik. All the same great stuff that you've come to love from Alan Wojcik over the past year, only with a new show name.
Very good.
There, done.
And you can follow him on Facebook, facebook.com/ my name is Wojcik.
My name is hard to pronounce, even though it's not long.
Gee, so what commercial inspired that Twitter name?
All right, well, we'll take a look at the world title, the WWE title match. Alberto Del Rio taking on CM Punk. Pop number one, The Fink.
Fucking epic.
That was awesome.
It was like, how do you one-up Ricardo Rodriguez? You bring out The Fink in Madison Square Garden.
Doesn't matter that he was rusty and kind of screwed something up.
It doesn't matter. It's The Fink in Madison Square Garden.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter that he screwed something up and was kind of rusty. It was The Fink.
It looked to me that he was waiting for the music.
Yeah, it kind of did, didn't it?
He was waiting for the music to start, like all introductions, and then because that's how Del Rio's goes. The music starts, and then Rodriguez starts to talk. And
well, either that, or the person who was supposed to cue the music is the one who fucked up and screwed that up. Either way, it doesn't matter. It was the Fink.
Damn right.
There you go.
and as I said on Twitter, WrestleMania, Howard Finkel versus Ricardo Rodriguez in an announce-off.
In an announce-off.
Book it. It's done.
I'll one-up you. Tuxedo match.
and for the hell of it, why not we do put Ricardo's hair on the line just to complete it? Because you can't put the Finks on the line. He doesn't have any.
That's a good point.
There you go. Yeah. So the only complaint I have really about this match is that I wanted it to be a little longer than it was.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have had enough time for somebody else to steal the spotlight.
Well, yeah, but we're not getting there yet. I'm just saying that was the only bad. That's the only negative I have about this match.
And that's pretty much the only negative anybody would have with this match.
Yeah, there you go. And of course,
it should have kept going because it was a damn good match. Very, very enjoyable.
Extremely entertaining. And of course, how many people are surprised that Punk slipped on the Anaconda Vice and made Del Rio tap out?
I wasn't. I had Punk going for the win. I didn't care how he did it. And as long as Punk walked away with that belt, I was happy.
There you go, Spud.
I would have rather seen Birdo win.
You've got to be the only Alberto Del Rio mark that I know.
I'm not an Alberto Del Rio mark, but it only made more sense to have Punk continue to chase it.
Well, I'm not.
You have
I won't
Punk,
just...
Punk works that hard to get that match, and then you have Del Rio do something cheap to get out of it, and then you get the payoff at TLC next month because you put that match up, you put that title up in a ladder match because then Del Rio really can't do anything cheap to win.
Well, here's the question, right? Does Del Rio now get a rematch after holding the title as long as he had?
Everybody gets a rematch.
Right? So you still wind up with that TLC match at TLC, right?
It
or
loses
you can.
Its luster.
So.
Yeah, but now it's in CM Punk's element.
So. Yeah.
But what happens if it winds up that Del Rio gets the title back?
It's not going to happen. You have 3 weeks before the pay-per-view, and they're not going to drop the title to Del Rio on a Raw.
I think he more meant at the pay-per-view.
At the pay-per-view, yeah.
Then that really makes no sense, and now you've become TNA.
But you give CM Punk
the
opportunity to chase it.
They'd wait more than a week to switch the title. You remember, TNA is every week title switch.
Yeah, people complain about the WWE titles meaning absolutely nothing. And I have a couple of people wondering why I don't bother with TNA. And I'm like, have you watched the fucking thing lately?
Hey, what happened to you? You were Mr. TNA. You were Mr. This is going to take over WWF.
Oh, fuck. I was never that vociferous of it. I was really impressed with their live show and thought they were going in the right direction. But sure enough, 3 weeks later, it was back to the same shit. And I have since then, which was like a year and a half coming up on 2 years ago, mentioned numerous times that I don't even watch the product anymore. I can't. It's a travesty what the people they call creative is doing to the talent that TNA has. And wrestler for wrestler, TNA has, in some cases, a lot better talent than WWE. In some cases.
But anyway, back to CM Punk winning the title and then going crowd surfing.
Yes, Shades of Eddie Guerrero when he won the title off of Brock Lesnar, I think it was.
I think that was a bit of a tribute to Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the second time he went and did it, and he actually dove back first into the crowd, I was expecting a Spike Dudley moment where they actually just surfed him around the arena.
That would have been cool.
Fun.
I think that's what he wanted the first time, and he didn't get it.
Crowd that surfing in Madison Square Garden. That'd be epic.
That would be something to write home about, definitely. So, yeah, great match. Fantastic. Fantastic. WWE title bout, and nobody's upset with except for Spud. Nobody's too upset with the way it ended.
I'm not upset with the finish. I think it would have made more sense to have Alberto Del Rio hold on to it for one more month.
Well, unless they turn him into the Mexican Christian, I don't know.
I think at this point they're trying to set up Rumble more than anything. That's
well,
where your next big payoff is. From here, you've got one pay-per-view, then you're going into the Rumble, and that's where your money's made than Survivor Series.
Yeah. Well, you know, that just goes back to something we've talked about until we decided that it's a dead horse that we're beating, and that's too many freaking pay-per-views. It's, you know, you got to rush your ass to set things up, even if you have something in place at the beginning of the year, as an outline for the entire 12 months.
Very true, very true.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's take a look at the final one and get this over with. The Rock and John Cena taking on The Truth and The Miz.
And this played out exactly as I predicted.
Uh-huh. And this is where I'm calling you jaded. And that's not an insult, Mace. It's just, you know.
Go for it. I don't give a flying fuck. I've made my thoughts and opinions well known on the subject since day one.
Absolutely. And, you know, nothing but props to you on that one. It's just, I just feel like you're jaded about it. And, objectively speaking, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, analyzing the whole thing and looking at the big picture, yeah, you know, you've been gone for 7 years and all of a sudden you come back and you take your three bumps while, Cena takes all the rest of them. And the crowd pops huge for you. Now, that, I have to say that was to be expected, so I kind of, like, ignored that part of it and just tried to watch this main event as a regular wrestling fan and not somebody who's trying to analyze the product to death like we do every week. And it did its job to set up everything between Cena and The Rock for WrestleMania. Even the standard obligatory, I knew it was coming, Rock Bottom after the match was over. I mean, yeah, of course you're expecting it to happen, but that didn't, in my opinion, that didn't lessen it any. If I was a younger, newer fan, I was still would have I would have popped for it. As it is, you know, it entertained me enough, and that was, in my opinion, that's all that matters. And like I say, I know you're jaded about it, and that's not a problem.
Yeah, we'll get to my thoughts eventually. Omega, you want to say something about this one?
If my internet will allow me to.
Yeah.
Well, hurry up, then.
Keep going offline.
Yeah, don't know what it is. Kind of think Tim kind of nailed this one a little bit. You know, it did play out the way I thought it would, but then again, you know, it's The Rock. It's his first time back. They're not going to overplay him before WrestleMania. It's pretty much how I expected. You know, it would have been nice to see a little bit of a twist on the, you know, what is essentially WWE's go-to format for a tag match, but it's, you know, let's keep in mind, Survivor Series almost didn't happen this year. You know, The Rock was pretty much there to be The Rock, put asses in seats, sell pay-per-view numbers, and he did it in spades. Yes, you could see The Rock Bottom at the end coming from a mile away. It would have, you know, if you're a... But keep in mind, you know, most people who bought this pay-per-view were buying it to see The Rock in a wrestling ring again. If he didn't end it by doing that to Cena, you would have left disappointed. It, yes, Mace, I know your feelings about The Rock. They are I will admit they are justified. However, he did his job. He did it well. The crowd was electrified the entire night. I don't see this as a bad thing.
Spug.
That match was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I don't know if it's because they were filming G.I. Joe or The Rock didn't have enough zeros on his paycheck, you know, to equal the last B movie he did. But to go in there, take three bumps, let the crowd die while you're doing, you know, while you're getting the Cena 20-minute beatdown. That match was horrible. Like, there was no... Cena made the hot tag. Rock came running in. There was no build-up to the hot tag. None. It was awful. Absolutely awful. If this was a preview of what we're going to get at WrestleMania, I'll go to a bar and watch WrestleMania, and the WWE won't get any of my money. Because that was fucking bullshit.
Good to see that this wasn't going to be a beat-up Mace segment.
I didn't expect it to be a beat-up Mace segment.
Well, it started to get that way between you and Omega.
Well, I wasn't beating you up. I was just disagreeing with your opinion, and I don't think there's a problem with that.
I was not trying to beat you up. I just... You're a fucking moron. That's all.
I'm sorry, but I don't do shows on Monday nights.
Neither does that moron anymore. Anyway.
Ah, fun. But, yeah, you did say, Omega, I'm justified in my thoughts. And yet again, they did actually justify everything I've said since day one. I said that they were going to protect The Rock. Because they've got to protect the movie star.
Well, again, that is an understandable thing. Of course they're going to make sure he's as protected as they can make him.
Yeah, but like Spug said, if they're doing this now and this is our WrestleMania preview, there's no point in doing the WrestleMania match.
Well, here's the thing. I've just got this feeling that we're going to see a lot more of The Rock between now and WrestleMania.
Yeah, live via taped promo.
That's fine. You can show more of The Rock between now and WrestleMania. My point is if that is the action that we're going to get at WrestleMania, if we're going to get six or seven bumps total from The Rock, some horrible stare downs, and some stupid promos, then guess what? Why don't you put your intercontinental title on that pay-per-view and scrap the idea of having The Rock there? Because, quite honestly, as someone who plunks down the $60 for WrestleMania every year, I don't want to see that. I don't. I've seen all I need to see of Rock and Cena. Because I know what the match is going to end up being. It's going to end up being an awful match. I don't care if you're trying to protect the movie star. Quite frankly, he doesn't need protecting. He can handle his own. Don't care.
Going into WrestleMania, coming up in just a few months' time, I'm gonna go in thinking, hoping for the best and expecting something somewhat less. That way, I shouldn't be disappointed.
But you shouldn't, here's the thing, you shouldn't have to do that. That's the whole point, is that with The Rock, okay, you're paying that much money for him to come back and do one match with John Cena and kind of, redo the 10 or 11 year or whatever it is, the anniversary of Rock and Hogan. Well, if you're doing it now, because Rock's going to go into the Hall of Fame, fantastic, whatever. The point is You saw what he did tonight. You saw what you're going to get out of The Rock. You really think he's going to put a ton of effort into that match at WrestleMania? He's not, because guess what? Monday morning, he's going to wake up in his multi-million dollar, you know, Hollywood home or Miami home or wherever the fuck he lives, and he doesn't have to go back into that ring. He doesn't have to live with what he does. John Cena does.
Well, again, we'll find out in the months leading into WrestleMania whether or not that is actually the case. As it stands right now, you can't really say one way or the other for a fact that that's what's going to happen, and then we have a shitty match.
No, we can't say that for a fact. But given the results of what happened tonight, if, as you said, you've started lowering your expectations of what could happen at Mania, so that way you will enjoy it. When did we get to the point where you had to lower your expectations for The Rock in order to enjoy his match?
7 years ago.
Well, then obviously creative need to wake the fuck up, remember this guy is a wrestler, and get him to actually fucking wrestle. Because all I saw out of him tonight was the same thing I see out of a fucking rookie in an indie show. He comes in, he does two fucking arm drags, tags out, and spends half the match on the fucking apron.
Yep.
Yeah, well, okay, he gets paid to do the fucking elbow. He gets paid to do the sharp shooter and the rock bottom. Good on him. He's done the same thing that Hulk Hogan's done. He's done the same thing that John Cena currently does and makes money for it. Good on him.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a point where you expect the guy with the name recognition of The Rock coming back for your biggest show of the year needs to fucking step it up a notch like he used to. Because that's where my entire fucking thing about him has been. He doesn't give a shit. He just wants his paycheck. And it just goes to show that the thing that he said the second he stepped foot out of the ring 7 years ago still rings true today. He doesn't give a shit about the fans. He doesn't give a flying fuck about the product. And the only time he wants to come back is when he fucking needs it. Or when he wants to. And believe me, if you think I'm only going to put this on The Rock, I'll put it on fucking anybody else that's walked away from the business with the same attitude. Prime example being Chris fucking Jericho.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I knew you were waiting for that one, Rock.
If you didn't mention that,
so was I.
If you didn't mention that, I was going to toss it to you for Jericho, yeah.
Yeah, speaking about Jericho, apparently, even though he said that he'll never wrestle in WWE again, he has been in talks with WWE about re-signing in time to reappear at WrestleMania. However, for the time being, those talks have fallen through.
I don't care about Chris Jericho and I don't care about The Rock. I'm with Mace. Listen, this is your showcase event. That's what Vince has called it, a showcase event.
Showcase of the Immortals.
Yeah. So guess what? There are quite a few individuals on that roster who bust their ass night in and night out for you and your company. They should be rewarded by being on that card. Whether they're in a Money in the Bank match or some stupid battle royal at the beginning of the card, it doesn't matter. They should be rewarded for their effort. Not spending multi-million dollars on an individual who only wants to come in, take four or five bumps, and leave. Because guess what? He doesn't give a shit about the fans or the product anymore.
Yeah, but on the business side of it, he does put asses in seats. And you know that the business side of it is a big factor.
It's WrestleMania. It's going to sell out no matter who's there or not, Tim.
Well, include buy rates.
It's WrestleMania. It's going to get buy rates, and it's going to sell out. It's Wrestle fucking Mania. It's like having a classic car sitting in my driveway. Guess what? Wouldn't it be better if it was one of the rare ones? Absolutely. But it's still worth a shit ton of money because it's a classic fucking car.
It'd also be the same as, you know, you could put the two lowest ranked teams in the NFL in the Super Bowl and it'd still draw fucking millions of viewers.
Because it's
the name alone.
It's the name. It doesn't matter who's there. It's the name that draws. WrestleMania, the name WrestleMania, draws fans.
There are wrestling fans who will not watch wrestling for an entire year, yet still will purchase WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the buy rates alone prove that. When WrestleMania closes in near a million and Survivor Series tonight probably won't even break what?
200, though. 250 at most. But the thing is, you know, yeah, WrestleMania draws on the name, but the thing is, it's also the reputation behind WrestleMania. It doesn't matter who you've got on it. You know that the guys that are going to step into that ring are going to push themselves to the point of, if I'm going to take this dive off the top rope, I'm going to make sure that I at least break something. You know, well, these guys will put everything and anything on the line, and when you get somebody who's coming in, who's meant to be your big draw, who doesn't really give a flying fuck, then, it's going to be great for business, but at the end of the day, your fan that's going to stick through you through those other 11 pay-per-views for the year are going to be jaded. They're going to feel ripped off. And as much as they don't like to fucking admit it, those are the fans that you've got to give a shit about the most.
I agree with you guys to an extent and partially. However, the fact of the matter is, yeah, WrestleMania draws. And it's going to create buy rate and it's going to sell out. It's going to sell out no matter what. But I am going to disagree completely with you saying that having The Rock on the card isn't going to increase the buy rate of the pay-per-view. Bullshit. It's going to bring back people who stopped watching the product altogether, who were watching the product when he was a full-time regular roster member. Oh, hey, The Rock, I remember him. Yeah, I'll buy it. What the hell? First time in 10 years? I'll do it. It's going to happen. It will affect the buy rate. It might be minuscule, but any minuscule increase is still an increase.
And you're missing the point entirely. That's great. No, you are, because that's fucking great. That's a one-time shot. That's not sustained viewership. That's not sustained viewership. Those 10 fans aren't coming back, you know, or those how many of our fans who haven't watched wrestling in 10 years aren't coming back to watch Raw the very next night, or the week after, or Backlash, or whatever the hell the April pay-per-view is called now. They're not sticking around for all that. They're tuning in for The Rock once, and leaving. They're not coming back.
How many times have you had to deal with a business accountant?
Multiple, and I'll tell you what. You want sustained growth. Intermittent spurts is fine. It gives you extra capital and allows you to grow just a little bit. But you want sustained income and growth. And
well, that's the business model. However, at the same time, the thinking of the people in the office is, hey, if we get 100,000 extra buys, maybe we'll retain or regain 10,000 people. Here it is. And the whole thing is it's 10%. And this is the statistic. And I don't like statistics. I hate them for a multitude of reasons. However, fact of the matter is they look at statistics. Every business does this. They look at the statistics. The statistics say 10% will come back. And there's your
in the
growth. Statistically
business.
Speaking, there's your audience growth.
And in the wrestling business, statistics don't fucking matter. Because you could have a show without a name that draws better than your biggest show of the year. And you turn around and put a big name on your show, and you may draw, we'll use indie numbers here, we'll say you may draw 200 people, when the last show you drew 400 and you didn't have a name. In wrestling, statistics don't fucking matter. You know what matters? The economy and the money. That's what fucking matters. Hold on, Tim, I'm not done. What, you're going to put The Rock on this show, and are you going to increase buy rates? Probably. Is it going to be sustained growth? Absolutely not. So my point, and Mace's point, and hundreds of other wrestling fans across the country, hundreds of thousands of wrestling fans across the country's point is, put people on that show that deserve to be there, that are going to increase an interest in your product, other than a one-time name who is not going to show up for another 10 or 20 or 30 years, who could give a fuck less about your company and your product and what's going on in that ring. That's what we want. We want to see new stars, new individuals attract our attention, not the same stars who could give a fuck less.
Well, on that note, we're going to have to agree to disagree for various and multitude of different reasons. Once again, everybody, you're all entitled to your opinion, and your opinion is just as valid as anybody else's.
So, overall opinion of the show?
I think the pay-per-view was completely average. It had entertaining moments. It had moments that just, like, you know, would serve to put me to sleep or something.
D. That pay-per-view's a D.
I'll throw it out there at a C, average at best.
Yeah, on a proper grading scale, it's a C. It's a pay-per-view built around mere moments and nothing but filler in between.
Yeah, and so like I say, to me it was average, which would be like a C+, tops.
See, that's why I give it a D, Omega. Because it was built around moments, and those moments really didn't deliver.
Well, at least this...
Yeah, but keep in mind, listen to our, you know, if you go back and listen to the archive of this, we were talking about the matches being pretty damn decent.
The matches were decent, but the moments that pay-per-view was built around, most of them didn't deliver. And, you know, for the big one being the ending, didn't deliver at all. I would have given it a C had the ending delivered. It didn't. It gets a D.
And I tell you what would have made it an A+, is after it was all said and done, Zack Ryder also ran out and attacked The Rock. We need more Jimmy Uso on TV, damn it.
God.
Not Jay, but Jimmy. All right. Hey, everybody, that's our breakdown and review of Survivor Series. I hope if you didn't enjoy the pay-per-view, at least you enjoyed us discussing it and hashing it out. I do believe that
I'd give our discussion about it a B.
The discussion? No, a D+, dude. We had some great discussion.
Tim, I know where you're going. Yeah. I have a bumper we can transition into for where you want to go.
All right.
Can I?
Yeah.
Oh,
I still get a kick out of that. I still get a kick out of that bumper, no matter how many times I've heard it. Yeah, Matt Hardy making me jump once again.
Or you could have just done. I was supposed to go to rehab, but then I got high.
Actually, I did do that.
He did go to rehab though, and he checked himself out. Drunk.
No, he got tossed out.
He got busted.
He got busted. He got thrown out. Absolutely. Poor Omega and his crappy internet.
He's trying to make a point.
Omega, are you there?
We should hear from him.
It's Beaker.
We should talk like that for the rest of the show, just to fuck with him.
Just
Punk and then.
So yeah, Matt Hardy getting his ass kicked out of rehab because he was busted after taking a breathalyzer, claiming it was his mouthwash.
didn't he blow like double the legal limit?
When was the last time that excuse was used? 1992?
Dude, you wouldn't believe how many times that excuse gets used.
In public? A lot.
They all think it's gonna work.
So
all the drunken idiots think it's gonna work.
So I made this point on TV Radio last night. We talked about this story. Matt Hardy goes to rehab, WWE sponsored rehab. Scott Hall goes to WWE sponsored rehab. At least he finishes. Matt Hardy can't finish rehab.
Yeah, when you're making Scott Hall look good, you know you're fucked.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what's even worse than that? What's even worse than that is Scott Hall is probably going to go through rehab again, and he might actually get clean this time.
He's currently in rehab.
Right. He might actually get clean this time.
No. You want to know what's even funnier? Is that Matt Hardy's girlfriend could have bailed him out, but she said no, let him fucking rot.
Well, he's in there on a $1 million bond, and she said fuck this, essentially, like you said, Mace. I gotta kind of chuckle about it, even though it's a really sad and horrible story. And there are times that every time I hear Matt Hardy's name now, I'm thinking, you know, am I gonna wake up in the morning and see all of the dirt sheets? Breaking news: Matt Hardy found dead.
You know what's even funnier than that? Your drug addict, meth head brother, who got off because of his name in North Carolina, is now wrestling again and making more money because he can keep the pipe out of his fucking mouth.
He understands the meaning of the word compliance. Is that not correct, Spug?
Yeah!
Heck yes.
But that's also because Jeff Hardy's not allowed out of his house after 6 o'clock of the evening, yeah, like a child.
Hey, there is that, too. Doesn't he have to wear some kind of ankle bracelet or something like that?
He does, but I will remind you, It was his meth lab trailer that caught on fire and blew up. So we know what kind of trouble Jeff Hardy can get into at his
at
own
home.
Just saying.
Too fucking true. That being said, we have 5 minutes left to go before we hit the top of the hour. I say we launch the great debate.
Fuck that. Let's just do quick hits and go home.
You don't want to do the great debate?
We'll do it next week.
All right.
We did two last week.
Yeah.
Ask Rock.
Yeah, that's true. But first,
I'm violating the WTR wellness policy.
I'm not surprised. I'm not. Not at the moment. I'm perfectly
sober. Not at the moment.
There
you go.
Now we
play. All right. Well, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wildfire.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Apparently we've lost Omega for now.
That's fine.
Yeah, just pointing it out. Anyway, Mace, what is your favorite Survivor Series moment of all time?
Gobbledygooker!
Pretty much. Gobbledygooker.
Simple, that's
doing
it.
Doing the dozy-do with Howard Finkel. See,
no.
There you go, Howard Finkel.
No, he did the dozy-do with Mean Gene.
Ah, that's right. I'm sure Howard Finkel was there at ringside.
Probably.
And he had hair.
Well, he had more hair than he does now. I'm pretty sure Finkel never really had hair.
Back in 1972, probably had hair.
But just as a backup to the Gooka one, it would have to be the Survivor Series that had CM Punk teaming up with DX, only because even back then, we knew CM Punk was going to go somewhere in the company because he got a bigger pop than DX at the time.
2006 in Philadelphia.
Something like that.
Yeah. Wow,
who's having sex with Blow Up Doll?
Spud.
Tim?
I'm making a balloon animal.
I knew that he was making a balloon animal. That's what you heard.
Since he still has the internet right now, we'll go to Omega. Omega, would you be interested in seeing Goldust vs. Cody Rhodes feud leading into WrestleMania?
Yeah. They've kind of been dropping the ball on such an obvious feud for years now.
That would be a good feud.
Goldust is pushing it on Twitter that he wants one more run with his brother.
That would be a really good feud.
Because then you could even get Dusty involved.
Right?
And there's your legend for WrestleMania. Spug, who is the best female in all of wrestling?
The best female in all of wrestling?
Yes.
Right now, you know, because I'm totally going to mark out and not want to get kicked in the face, I'm going to say J-Hav.
You mean Jessica Havoc and her machete?
Yeah, right? I've seen that fucking machete too, dude.
Have you really?
Yeah.
If you missed it, go to GoFightLive.tv and order the iPay-per-view of WSU Breaking Barriers 2.
Just make sure you clean out your cache every 20 minutes.
It's War Games, a machete, and blood. And boobs.
And lots of it.
Anyway, Tim, what is the most enjoyable style of wrestling, in your opinion?
Japanese hard style. Your strong style.
And why is that?
Why is that, you have to ask?
Yeah, I'm giving you know.
Oh, I have to answer this. Japanese strong style. It's a lot more, I hesitate to say this, but it's a lot more believable to watch, if you understand what I mean. And the wrestlers aren't, you know, like scripting moves around any kind of potential pain or injury or anything like that. And they're actually fighting for real while they're in there. Never mind what the outcome is, you know, scripted to be and shit like that.
They just hit a lot harder than normal.
That too.
With Black Friday coming up, Mace, what is the best video game to buy this holiday season?
Oh God, go fuck yourself.
It's going to have Sky in the name, one way or the other.
Here's the thing. This is the last week, okay? I have bought, as I get up to view my extensive game collection, I recently acquired the latest Dragon Ball Z game. Why? Because I can. I got Saints Row the Third, which is fucking awesome. You should play it.
And my friend is in the game.
Your friend is in the game?
Vangelis.
What?
He's a mission in the game.
You're going to have to find out which one so I can replay it. And of course there is Skyrim, which I have still yet to put a goddamn dent into.
Apparently, you will never finish that game.
Supposedly.
Then there's
the one where I know I'm going to have to cower because the second I mention the name, Omega's going to kill me. I did go out and buy the other day Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
You fucking whore.
I knew it was coming.
Go, Mega Man, go! Wait, he's not in that game.
No, those goddamn fuckers. They're putting Mega Man X in the game, but only as a skin of another character. So they're just fucking trolling at this point.
You had to name that game, didn't you, Maze? You had to say it. Because guess what? Yeah. We're going to go off the air. Omega's still going to sit there at his computer yelling at the screen.
Goddamn douche nozzle.
Clip.
I prefer the term twat waffle.
and of course, if you want to go back a couple weeks, there's also Arkham City, which again is fucking awesome. Then next week, later this week, I'm picking up WWE 12, and I'm quite sure there's about two or three other games that are coming out this month that I'm probably going to buy.
By the way, I just want to throw this out there, and Omega, you shut your mouth. Mace was supposed to send me DVDs from across the pond, and he was waiting for money for shipping. He's bought how many video games now? Fuck you, sir. Fuck you.
Yeah, again, well, I get paid on Thursday, bitch, so I'll send them off.
No, you won't. It's the same thing I said to Omega. His hat's still sitting on my desk next to my computer and Jersey Girl's money for the t-shirt she bought me at WrestleMania last year. I'm that fucking lazy that I just forget to put it in a box and put it in the mail.
As for picking something to be, like, the game to go out and buy for this holiday season?
Just one?
You know what? I know a way to do this. Just put a big amount of money on Steam and buy Skyrim, Arkham City, and Saints Row all off Steam.
That's a cheap way out.
I know.
You bitch.
I could have turned around and said, hey, everybody, go and buy Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Fucking cunt stick.
That's a great one, too. I like that one. I'm going to use that tomorrow.
What, you plan on talking to your boss, do you?
I talk to my boss every day.
You call him a cunt stick.
I called him a twat waffle on Friday.
Omega, would you like to see? Would you like to see RVD return to WWE for one final run?
Fuck yes, of course I would.
Can he please get rid of that really shitty entrance music that he has now?
Please, dear God, yes.
It's awful.
I so miss One of a Kind.
I miss him using "Walk" by Pantera. You couldn't have found some way to work a different song in. You had to go find Slipknot and have them make a crappy entrance version.
It's not even Slipknot. It's
That's Corey Taylor singing the vocals.
But it's not Slipknot. It's another band.
What's the other one? Fury of the Storm that they only used for one video game and never as an actual entrance? That's actually a take on Walk?
Something like that.
Couldn't get any better atmosphere with a crowd than what you did with Walk, though.
No, you kind of had it with One of a Kind. I mean, One of a Kind was really good. That was a good song.
Yeah.
But would Omega like to see Rob Van Dam come back in WWE 12?
Yeah.
You'll have to skin him as a different character, just like they did to Mega Man.
Yeah.
I'll go to Tim for this one. Tim. Conversation after show, I should just record. Anyway, Tim, why do people always complain about getting something for free?
You're asking a Jew this question?
No, the Jew is the one who asked the question. Get it right. Say it again, Rock, because you broke up.
Why do people always complain about getting something for free?
Because it's this fucking sense of entitlement the goddamn world has. They figure they should have absolutely everything, and it should be top-notch. Number one, the best there ever fucking is, and the best there ever fucking was, and they shouldn't ever have to fucking pay for quality.
And when it's not the best and they didn't drop any money on it, they bitch, cry, moan, and piss and complain about it.
I thought he was going to drop the last sentence of that line and complete the trifecta of his man crush. Are you sitting at the computer in pink and black undies right now, Tim?
No.
No, but that was done for my amusement, because... Yeah. Anyway, to Smug, and this is the serious question, what is one thing you're most thankful for?
Quite honestly, at the moment, being alive. Because over the past year and a half, I've had some pretty rough run-ins with my health and situations that could have killed me, and I'm just thankful that they didn't. So
dying sucks.
Yeah.
Now Tim gets where I was going with this question.
Yeah, I get that now, and it ties into a couple of different things now that it's been figured out, Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's quick hits.
I want to before we go out here and say goodnight to everybody and everything else like that, talk really quickly about Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, our next show, December the 8th at the Border Crossing Bar, 1814 36th Street Southeast, Calgary. This coming week, we're going to have matches, actually, up on CanadianAllPro.com from the debut show. There won't be any play-by-play commentary. You'll just be able to watch the matches as they happen with the two-camera edit. So be sure to check that out if you didn't get a chance to see the stream that we had up the day after the show.
Tim,
what?
That's where they do their own commentary as the match is going on. Commentate it as you're watching it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
At the same
like competition
time,
competition in progress.
Yeah, at the same time, our debut show with the full body count, we actually had approximately 75 people there. That now this included the wrestlers. Okay, so with the wrestlers there and everything, there was a grand total of like 75 people at our debut show, which was not very unrespectable at all, I don't think. And contrary to the belief or the statement of certain individuals, half of the people at the show were not comped. That being said, make sure you join us here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, for the quote-unquote debut of the brand new show that is the exact same thing, only with a new name, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, with your host, Alan Wojcik.
Now Spug's in it, connects.
And then tune in Wednesday night
for
absolutely nothing but dead air.
Yeah, the show's on hiatus.
There you go. Of course, Sunday night, or Saturday night, rather, midnight-ish, as close as they can get to it, CB Radio.
Yeah, CB Radio, midnight-ish, check it out. Rob Parks, Subway, myself. Weird, wacky, unusual. You never know what we're going to talk about. But Tim, going back to Canadian All-Pro, go to CanadianAllPro.com for all the information. When's your next event?
The next event, December the 8th at Border Crossing Bar. The event after that will be December the 18th. It's a Sunday afternoon matinee at the Ross Carrick Community Hall. And tickets for both events are available now. We've got a couple of really interesting main events. We've got a six-man tag match on December the 8th. We've got Team Divine taking on Team Rivers, with the return of the original Stampede Wrestling Stars, the Karachi Vice. The original, with the Great Gamma and Abu Wizzal.
And then go to CanadianAllPro.com for more information.
Absolutely. Follow us on Twitter, at CanadianAllPro. Like us on Facebook.
And join the group.
And join the group, absolutely. And I'm done with plugs.
Next Sunday.
More Wrestle Talk Radio, more Sunday Night Mayhem.
Never call it that ever again.
Oh, God.
Ever. Don't you ever call that again.
See, I knew that would get your goat.
Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network, twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. We'll cover Raw as it happens tomorrow night.
Tune in for the... Mayhem after Raw.
Yeah, tune in for Fail Skype.
Fail Skype. Bye, Spock.
There you go. All right, that's it. We're out of here. Go do stuff. Wash the dishes or something. We'll catch you next week. See you later, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.